نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to continue this evening in lecture number 9 from the hadith of Umdat al-Ahkam by Al-Imam Abdul Ghani al-Muqtasi rahimahullah, with the explanation Taysir al-Adlan by Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Sali Ali Bassam Hafidhullah. The hadith that we have been following are from Kitab al-Hajj, the book of pilgrimage, and the chapter that we began with in the last session was Bab al-Tamattu', that is the combining of Hajj and Umrah in one journey in the same year, in the month of Hajj. And last week we took three hadith, hadith number 225, the hadith of Abu Jamrah, along with hadith number 226, narrated by Hafsa bint Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, in the hadith of Imran ibn Hussein radiallahu anhu concerning the verse of Al-Mut'a, yani the verse in the Quran of Surah Al-Baqarah related to the joining of Hajj and Umrah, or the enjoyment of enjoying, the enjoyment of combining the Hajj and Umrah in one journey, the performance of the rites of Hajj as well as the rites of Umrah in one journey. This evening we'd like to take the final hadith from this chapter of At-Tamattu', hadith number 228, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal tamatta'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam في حجة الوداع بالعمرة إلى الحج. Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم during the farewell pilgrimage حجة الوداع, he performed both Umrah and Hajj, يعني تمتع, that he enjoyed the opportunity of performing both of the rites of Umrah as well as Hajj in one journey. وَأَهْدَى, and he also brought along with him his hadi, the sacrificial animal. فَسَاقَ مَعْهُ الْهَدْيَ مِنْ ذِي الْحُلَيْفَةِ, and he brought his sacrificial animal with him from the miqat of the people of Medina, ذِي الْحُلَيْفَةِ. وَبَدَأَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فأهل بالعمرة ثم أهل بالحج. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began by entering the state of Ihram with the pronouncement of his intention of Umrah. فأهل بالعمرة, began with the intention of Umrah, ثم أهل بالحج, and then with his intentions for Hajj, يعني his intention to perform first Umrah and then in the same journey the Hajj when its time came. فتمتع الناس مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ومع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالعمرة إلى الحج. And the people likewise also enjoyed the opportunity and the pleasure and the ease, the tamattu of combining the rites of Umrah with Hajj, along with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فكان من الناس من أهدى فساك الحجية ومنهم من لم يهدي. So they were from amongst the people, يعني two groups of people. They were from amongst the people those who brought their sacrificial animal with them. And they were from amongst those who did not bring any sacrificial animal with them. يعني from the miqat, from the land. They didn't bring an animal with them. Some of them, they were few, along with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who brought the sacrificial animal. And the other group, they were the majority who didn't bring the animal with them. Here in this hadith, the narrator Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنه continues here to describe the Hajj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in brief, in detail the Umrah, and then what happened after the Umrah until those things which are performed on the day, the Hajj al-Akbar, the major day of the actions of Hajj, the things of Dhul-Hijjah, when the sacrifice is performed in the Tawaf al-Ifada or Tawaf al-Ziyara, the main Tawaf of Hajj. He describes here in the rest of this hadith what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did and those who were with him. فَلَمَّا قَدِمَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ or as it is in the text here, فَلَمَّا قَدِمَا النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مَكَّةً. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم arrived in Mecca, قَالَ لِلنَّاسِ, he said to the people. Here the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed the people of the preference of performing the Umrah separate in one state of Ihram and then getting out of Ihram and returning to Ihram again for Hajj. فَقَالَ لِلنَّاسِ, he said to the people, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ قَدْ أَهْدَى فَإِنَّهُ لَا تَحِلُّ أَوْ لَا تَحِلُّ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَرُمَ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يَقْضِيَ حَجَّهُ. That whoever has brought with them a sacrificial animal, then he may not get into the permissible state, and he may not get out of the state of Ihram from those things that have been prohibited from in the state of Ihram. He will not be able to enjoy them until he completes his Hajj. Yani, mean until he completes the main rites of Hajj, that is the throwing of the stones and the sacrificial animal on the tent, and also the Tawaf and Ifada, the Tawaf of Hajj. That whoever has brought the animal, it is not lawful for him to engage in those things which have been prohibited due to his state of Ihram until the tenth when he performs his sacrifice. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أَحْدَى, and whoever from amongst you didn't bring a sacrificial animal along with him when he entered the state of Ihram, فَلْيَطُفْ بِالْبَيْتِ وَبِالصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةِ وَلْيُقَفِّرْ وَلْيُحْلِلْ ثُمَّ وَثُمَّ لِيُحِلَّ بِالْحَجِّ فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ حَجًّا فَلْيَصُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةً إِذَا رَجَعَ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ. The second group of people are those who didn't bring an animal. He said whoever didn't bring his animal with him, then he must perform tawaf of the house, of the Kaaba, and of al-Safa and al-Marwa. Yani tawaf, meaning circumambulation, going around the Kaaba 7 times, and the tawaf of al-Safa and al-Marwa, it is a sa'i, going between Safa and Marwa 7 times. From Safa to Marwa is 1, and returning from al-Marwa ila Safa is 2. Then, after performing the tawaf and sa'i, this is the tawaf and sa'i of Umrah, the person should cut their hair. وَلْيُقَفِّرْ وَلْيُحْلِلْ. Then after they cut their hair, they have completed the Umrah, they should get out of the state of Ihram, and all things become lawful to them again. ثُمَّ يُحِلَّ بِالْحَجِّ. Then, يعني when the day of Hajj comes, the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, يوم التروية, then that person should announce their intentions to enter Ihram again for Hajj. And here in the text of Umdat al-Ahkam, but I didn't find it in the text of the Hadith in al-Bukhari, وَالْيُحْدِي, يعني then that person should enter the Ihram for the state of Hajj, and also they should prepare their animal. The hajj, the sacrificial animal. So whoever didn't find an animal, then those who are now in the condition of performing a tamattu' or al-qiran, performing both umrah and hajj in one journey, are required to make a sacrifice. So he said, after completing the umrah with tawaf and sa'i and getting out of the state of ihram, when the day of hajj came, they should enter again the state of ihram and they should prepare their sacrifice, because it is obligatory on those who make tamattu' and those who make qiran, journey of hajj and umrah in one journey, it is obligatory on them to sacrifice an animal. So they should prepare the animal, and whoever doesn't have the means to sacrifice an animal, فَلْيَصُمْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبْعَةً إِذَا رَجَعَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ. Then it is obligatory on them to fast 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days when they return to their families, yani after the Hajj. So those who make tamattu and those who make qiran, unlike those who make ifrād, performing Hajj alone without Umrah, those who are making Umrah and Hajj together, it is obligatory on them to make a sacrifice. And whoever is not able, not whoever is not willing, whoever is not able. Because whoever is able, it's obligatory, and they have no option in the matter. But whoever is unable, due to the fact that they don't have the means, then their option is to fast for 10 days, 3 days during the Hajj, and 7 days when they return to their family, or when they return to their land. Then Abdul Umrah رضي الله عنهما continues, فطاف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قدم مكة. He said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم performed tawaf when he arrived at مكة. فاستلم الركن. Then he made استلام, يعني touching of the corner of the Kaaba, meaning the black stone. And that استلام, it is touching as well as kissing and making prostration if one is able on the place of the black stone. فاستلم الركن أول شيء. The first thing he did when he entered the masjid is to go directly to the black stone to begin the tawaf, and that is by touching the stone. That's the first thing he did, without making two rak'ah for entering the masjid, but he began immediately with the tawaf, which is the greeting or tahiyyat al-masjid for al-masjid al-haram, for those who have just arrived in Mecca with the intention of Hajj Umrah. So he touched the black stone, ثُمَّ خَبَّ ثَلَاثَةَ أَطْوَافٍ. And in the text of Umdat al-Ahkam, أَشْوَاتٍ. But in al-Bukhari al-Muslim, the word is أَطْوَافٍ, and the meaning, the intended meaning is the same. Then he did what is called normally ramal, that is running quickly, short quick steps for the first three rounds of the tawaf, the first three of the seven, min al-sab'a. وَمَشَى أَرْبَعَةً مِنْ الْأَطْوَافِ. Then he walked four, يعني four of the remaining four circuits, he walked the remaining four circuits of the tawaf. وَرَّقَعَ حِينَ قَضَى طَوَاقَهُ بِالْبَيْتِ عِنْدَ الْمَقَامِ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. Then he performed two rak'ah after completing the tawaf of the Kaaba. He performed two rak'ah at the place of Ibrahim, Maqam al-Ibrahim. ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ. Then he made salam. فَانْصَرَفَ. Then he left from that place. فَأَتَى الصَّفَى وَطَافَ بِالصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةِ سَبْعَةَ أَطْوَافٍ. Then after completing the prayer, he left from there and went to the mountain of al-Safa, and he made tawaf between al-Safa and al-Marwati, seven circuits. Yeah, I mean, from Safa to Marwa is one, and when you return to the starting point, that's two. ثَمَّ لَمْ يَحْلِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ حَرْمَ مِنْهُ حَتَّى قَضَى حَجَّهُ. Then he didn't get out of the state of ihram, and he didn't get out of the state of consecration, but he remained in the state of ihram. He remained in that condition when the things which are unlawful in ihram are prohibited and he stayed in that condition of ihram until he completed the Hajj. Until he completed the main rites of Hajj in the sense of the Hijjah. وَنَحَرَ حَجَّهُ يَوْمُ النَّحَرَ. Then he performed the sacrifice of his sacrificial animal. And nahar is the terminology that's used for the sacrifice of a camel. وَنَحَرَ حَجَّهُ يَوْمُ النَّحَرَ. The 10th of Dhul Hijjah, he performed the sacrifice of his sacrificial animal. وَأَفَاضَ فَطَافَ بِالْبَيْتِ ثُمَّ حَلَّ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَرُمَ مِنْهُ. Then after performing his sacrifice, he says that he made the tawaf al-isaba. That is, he went to Mecca and performed the tawaf, which is the main tawaf of Hajj. And he made tawaf of the Kaaba, and then he got out of the state of ihram. From all of those things that were prohibited in the state of ihram. And of course, this is a summary of the rites of Hajj and Umrah. So there are a number of things that haven't been mentioned. And amongst the most important of them is on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, the stoning of the Jamra. And then the sacrifice, and the cutting of the hair, and then the tawaf and sa'i. And of course, the Prophet ﷺ, since he is performing Qiran, there is no need for him to repeat the sa'i. Because whoever performs a Qiran, if they make sa'i, with the tawaf al-hudum, the arrival tawaf, when they first arrived in Mecca, for the qarin, the one who was making qiran, in one ihram, hajj and umrah together, if they made the sa'i at the time when they arrived in Mecca after the tawaf, it will count as the sa'i of hajj, for the qarin. And if they delayed it, then it's sufficient for them just to make tawaf, and then to make the sa'i after the tawaf of hajj. In this case, the Prophet ﷺ performed the tawaf, and he also performed the sa'i, which was the sa'i of hajj. So on the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, when he returned to Mecca, he only performed tawaf, and then he got out of the state of ihram. وَفَعْلَ مِثْلَ مَا فَعْلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مَنْ أَحْدَى وَثَاقَ الْحَجْيَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And those who are amongst the people who brought a sacrificial animal with them from their land, they did the same thing, the same actions which the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم did. Since they were in the same condition as he was, in the state of the qari, the one who was making umrah and hajj in one ihram. This is the end of the hadith, and here Shaykh Abdullah Hafidhullah mentioned generally in this hadith, and after that a number of ahkam, a long list of ahkam or points of importance that are derived from this hadith, and then some differences of opinion. In generally in the hadith, he says that when the Prophet ﷺ went out to Dhul Hulayfa, the miqat of the people of Medina, and those who were coming past Medina or through Medina, when he went out to the miqat of Dhul Hulayfa with the intention to perform his Hajj, the farewell pilgrimage, when he would bid farewell to the Kaaba and the rites of Hajj, and also bid farewell to the people. Because after the farewell pilgrimage, it was the last year of the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And also he wanted to affirm his deliverance of his message and to call the people to testify to the fact that he has indeed delivered the message that Allah commissioned him with. At that point, he entered the state of ihram for both Umrah and Hajj, and he was performing qiran, or he was as a qarin, one performing qiran. And Al-Qiran, as we mentioned last week, has sometimes been referred to as Tamattu', and in the ayah of the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, both the Qarin and the Mutamatti' are mentioned in this verse, that whoever joins Umrah and Hajj together, then they have to make a sacrifice, whatever is easy for them to perform, whether a camel or a cow or a sheep or a goat or whatever. So in this hadith, perhaps you noticed that Amr ibn Umar said Tamatta'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here the meaning of Tamatta'a is the enjoyment of performing two rites in one journey. But actually, the type of Hajj which he performed, it is technically referred to as Al-Qiran. Qiran. So the people also enjoyed this opportunity, along with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to perform both Umrah and Hajj in one visit. Some of them made ihram with the intention of two from the very beginning of performing both rites, Hajj and Umrah together, in one ihram, that is Qiran. Some of them made intention to perform, or they entered the field of ihram to perform Umrah with the intention in their mind later to perform Hajj when they were after being freed from the Umrah. That is, being in Umrah, in Ihram for Umrah, and then getting out of it, and returning to Ihram again later for Hajj. And this is Tamattu'. And the third group of them made their Ihram with the intention of performing Hajj alone. And the Prophet gave them the option of any one of these three. Some of them made intention for Ifrad, Hajj alone, and some of them made intentions for Al-Qiran, Hajj and Umrah in one Ihram, and some of them made intentions for Tamattu', Hajj and Umrah, but in separate states of Ihram. So the Prophet carried his animal or drove his animal with him, as did some of his companions from Dhul-Hulayfa, and some of them, most of them, didn't have any sacrificial animal with them. So when they reached near Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged those who didn't bring an animal with them, those who had intended Ifrad, Hajj alone, and those who intended Qiran, Hajj and Umrah, in one Ihram, but they didn't have an animal with them, he encouraged them to cancel that intention of Ifrad or that intention of Qiran and to change it to the intention of Umrah. يعني Umrah separately and then Hajj in a separate Ihram, which is Tamattu'. He encouraged them to do so. When they got near to Mecca, he told those people who had intended Ifrad and who had intended Qiran, but they had no animal with them, to change it, to make intention only for Umrah, and then later you will perform the Hajj, in the days of Hajj, because there was no need for them to stay in Ihram since they didn't have an animal. But those who entered Ihram or the animals with them, they cannot get out of the state of Ihram until the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, when the sacrificial animal is sacrificed. So after they made Tawaf and Sa'i, the Prophet ﷺ again affirmed his encouragement to them to make the intention for Umrah alone by ordering them to cut their hair and to get out of the state of Ihram having completed Umrah. After they performed Tawaf and Sa'i, and he also performed Tawaf and Sa'i, but because he had his animal with him, he couldn't get out of Ihram, but he told those who had no animal, again confirming this command, he told them to cut their hair and to get out of the state of Ihram after completing the Umrah, and then later to make Ihram again for Hajj, and to prepare a sacrificial animal, which is the obligation on those who perform Umrah and Hajj in one visit. Then the Shaykh says, at this point, the Prophet ﷺ addressed those who were obligated to make a sacrifice but didn't have the ability to do so. Whoever didn't have the ability to make a sacrifice, then they have to fast for 10 days. 3 days during Hajj and 10 days when they return to their families or to their land. And here the Shaykh says that the time for fasting the 3 days in Hajj begins from the time the person enters Ihram for Umrah. And from the time that the person entered Ihram for Umrah, before the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, from the time they made Ihram for Umrah, then you begin fasting. From that time, they may fast their 3 days. The 3 days they have to perform in Hajj. So when the Prophet ﷺ reached Mecca and he made istilam of the, touching the black stone and made tawaf, 7 circuits around the Kaaba, 3 of them walking or running at a fast pace or jogging at a fast pace, and this 3 round jogging or walking quickly at a rapid pace, it is an exclusive feature of the tawaf al-qudum only. The tawaf that is performed when a person first arrives at Mecca. But after you are there, if you make tawaf again the following day, or later in the day, or any other time during that journey, you don't make this ramal, or walking quickly in the first 3 rounds of the tawaf. This is exclusively for tawaf al-qudum, the tawaf of arrival. So he walked quickly in the first 3 rounds, and then, normally in the last 4, then he prayed 2 rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim, then he went to Safa, and he made the going between Safa and Marwa 7 times, running between the 2 green markers or the green markings on the wall, running between them and walking the rest of the distance. then getting it out of the haram until he completed his hajj and sacrificed his sacrificial animal on the day of sacrifice, yani the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah. So when the Prophet ﷺ completed the noon rites of hajj, which included throwing the stones at Jamarat al-Aqaba on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the stones are thrown at one of the pillars, Jamarat al-Aqaba, the big one, only 7 stones. After doing so, throwing those stones and sacrificing his animal and shaving his head, all of this on the day of Nahr or the day of sacrifice, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, at this point he was able to make the first partial exit from the state of Ihram, At-Tahallul Al-Awwal, getting out of the state of Ihram partially, in which everything was lawful, including using incense or perfume, cutting hair from the body, clipping one's nails, and so on. Everything is allowed except having relations with one's spouse. This is At-Tahallul Al-Awwal. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ got out of the state of Ihram, the partial, getting out of the state of Ihram, and then he went to Mecca in the morning of that day, and he made Tawaf of the Kaaba. Then, after making that Tawaf, he got out of the state of Ihram complete, the complete or total getting out of the state of Ihram, that is, Tahallul al-Kamil. So that everything became lawful, including relations with one's spouse. And likewise, those who brought the animals with them from amongst the companions of the Prophet ﷺ did as he did. Here, the Shaykh mentions the points that are derived from this hadith, 16. And from amongst these 16 points, there are some points about which there's difference of opinion, three main points about which there's difference of opinion. The first of them is what kind of hajj did the Prophet ﷺ perform? And the second of them, which of the rites of the three types of hajj are preferable? And the third of them is, when can the person begin to fast the 3 days that are required during hajj for the one who is obligated to make a sacrifice but unable to do so? In the first point, he said, from this hadith we know that the Prophet ﷺ made ihram mutamatti'an, as Abdul ibn Umar said, mutamatti'an, but here mutamatti'an meaning what? The enjoyment of umrah and hajj in one journey. That is, he made al-qiran. And the difference of opinion concerning this will be discussed a little later, inshallah. The second point, and the first point, is that the Prophet ﷺ made al-qiran. And there is a long discussion about this, which he will discuss later. The second point is the legislation that a person may bring the sacrificial animal with them from outside of the haram area. Yani, from before entering the haram, it is legislated that a person may bring their sacrificial animal with them from the miqat of their land, or even before the miqat. And this is legislated. And this was the action of the Prophet ﷺ. Yani, it's permissible for the person to find an animal in the haram area during the hajj, or they may bring it from their land. Here, the point that he is mentioning here is that it's permissible and it's legislated in the Sharia. It's lawful for a person to bring the animal from their land, as was the action of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third point is the permissibility of all three types of hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initially allowed them to choose which type of hajj they wanted to make, whether al-ifrad, hajj alone, or al-qiran or tamattu, joining umrah and hajj together, either in two states of ihram, tamattu, or one state of ihram, al-qiran. Since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allowed those who had made intentions for any one of those three, he allowed it, he affirmed it, and he allowed it, even though he encouraged strongly those who didn't have an animal with them, and they had intended Quran to change it to tamattu, and likewise those who had intended ifrad to change it to tamattu and perform both umrah and hajj in that one visit. Number four, the legislation to cancel one's intention for hajj and change it to umrah for those who didn't intend tamattu. Yani, if somebody had made intention for ifrad, for hajj alone, it's legislated in the Sharia that they may cancel that intention for hajj alone and change it to the intention for umrah, so that instead of being a mufrad, they will be mutamatti', one performing tamattu. It's legislated to make fasakh, or canceling of the intention for Hajj and changing it to Umrah for the one who didn't bring with them a sacrificial animal. And the Prophet ﷺ, he directed this encouragement or this command to those who had no animal with them to change their intention to Umrah, even though they may have intended Ifrad or Qiran. In that case, that person who changes their intention to Umrah, then they get out of the state of Ihram, and those who brought with them an animal have to remain in the state of Ihram until they complete the main rites of Hajj and the day of sacrifice, and after that they may get out of the state of Ihram. Shaykh Muslim Ibn Taymiyyah says, related to this point, that many of the people of scholars said that everyone who intended a tamattu, but the time wasn't sufficient for them to perform the tamattu, and they didn't reach Mecca to perform the tawaf before the time of standing at Arafah. And if somebody arrives in Mecca while the people are on Arafah, in that case, because there's no time now to go and make tawaf and sa'i for Umrah, then he said that those people should be ordered to enter the Hajj into the Umrah. That cancelling the Hajj for those, cancelling the intention of Hajj and making an Umrah for those who didn't bring an animal, that this is legislated even if the person changed their intention after the performance of the Tawaf al-Qudum, the arrival Tawaf and the Sa'i. Even if they had already performed the Tawaf and Sa'i, they may change their intention from Qiran or Ifrad and change it to Tamattu. It will become as Umrah for them. They will get out of Ihram and then wait until the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, the first day of Hajj, and then make Ihram again for Hajj as a mutamatti. Number 6, that it is expected for whoever didn't bring an animal with them, it is obligatory that they must fast 10 days, 3 days during Hajj and 7 days after they return to their family, to their land, to their country. And here the difference of opinion is as to whether when those 3 days may be fasted. May they be fasted before the person enters the Ihram for Umrah? And is it permissible to fast the 3 days before they enter the Ihram for Umrah? Or is it after they have entered Ihram for Hajj only? Or is it possible to do so before entering Ihram for Hajj, but after entering Ihram for Umrah? Yani there are three possible conditions. Either the person may fast before entering Ihram for Umrah, or after entering Ihram for Umrah, but before Hajj, or after entering Ihram for Hajj. These are the three possible times. Before making the Umrah, or after making the Umrah, or after entering Ihram for Hajj. Here the Shaykh says, as for those 3 days, it is not correct to fast the 3 days before entering Ihram for Umrah. Before entering Ihram for Umrah. It is not permissible to fast those 3 days, and this is by ijma' or consensus of the scholars, that you may not fast the 3 days before entering Ihram for Umrah. As for after entering Ihram for Umrah, but before entering Ihram for Hajj, there is difference of opinion about this condition. And there is agreement or ittifaq that you may fast after entering Ihram for Hajj. Yani after Ihram for Hajj, there is agreement, no one differs, that it's allowed for you to fast. And before Umrah, there is also no difference, that it's not allowed to fast. The point of difference is before entering Ihram for Hajj. If you have made Ihram for Umrah, is it permissible to begin fasting those 3 days? And the significance of this point is that even though there is no difference of opinion after you have entered Ihram for Hajj, that you may fast the 3 days from that point. But when will you fast them? If it has to be during Hajj. The 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, if you fast the 8th, the 9th is the day of Arafat, and you cannot fast on the 9th. The 10th is the day of Eid, the day of sacrifice, and you cannot fast on the 10th. The 11th, 12th, and 13th are the days of Tashriq, and it is makruh to fast in those days. So when will you fast? You will only get 1 day. Though there is authentic hadith that the Prophet ﷺ allowed, narrated from Aisha radiallahu anha, and one of the other companions, I think Abdul ibn Umar, that the Prophet ﷺ allowed the fasting in the days of Tashriq only for those who were unable to make a sacrifice and they have to fast 3 days, then it's permissible for them to fast in those 3 days, but it's preferable not to fast in those days, because those are the days of remembrance of Allah and of eating and drinking. They are like days of Eid. So that means this is the significance of this issue. Then if it is makruh to fast in the days of Tashriq and not allowed to fast on the day of Eid and the day of Arafat, then there's only one day to fast, and that is the Eid. Therefore, many of the scholars looked at this issue and not agreed, but many of them held the opinion that it's permissible for the person to fast after entering Ihram for Umrah. Between the Umrah and Hajj, maybe there will be some days, 3 days or 4 days or 5 days or 1 week or 1 month, depending on when they arrive for the Umrah, in the month of Hajj, from the month of Shawwal until Dhul-Qa'dah and Dhul-Hijjah. So at any point between them, many of the scholars said that it is permissible to fast, because when a person has entered Ihram for Umrah, then at that point, while they have the intention to enter Ihram for Hajj on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, once they enter the Ihram for Umrah, it is as though they have begun their Hajj. Yani because this Umrah is connected to Hajj. So this is the thing. Joining Umrah to Hajj is the thing that makes the sacrifice, or the fasting for those who are not able to make a sacrifice, it makes it obligatory. Had they not performed Umrah along with Hajj, there's no need for a sacrifice or no need for fasting. But once they made Umrah in the months of Hajj, with the intention to make Hajj also in those same months, in that same year, it became obligatory on them to make a sacrifice or to fast for 10 days if they are unable. And therefore they said, once it became obligatory by the entering of Ihram for Umrah, then it also became permissible for them to begin fasting the 3 days that required during Hajj. So here the Shaykh says, as for the 3 days, it's not permissible. As I said before, it's not permissible to fast them before Ihram for Umrah by consensus. And it is ittifaq or agreed upon that you may fast them after Ihram for Hajj. No difference of opinion. But the question is it permissible and is it acceptable to fast those days before Ihram for Hajj? Yani after Ihram for Umrah. And there are two opinions here concerning this issue. He said that our madhab, meaning the madhab of the Hanabila, the madhab of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, is that it is permissible. And that is because the cause which makes it obligatory to fast those days, it is that the person is making Umrah and Hajj in one journey. Therefore, once they entered the Ihram for Umrah, it became, yani that was the cause which made it obligatory for them to make a sacrifice or to fast if they were unable to do so. Therefore, at that point, it became permissible for them to begin that fasting. And then he says that this fasting after the Ihram for Umrah is similar to the person who fulfills the kafara to yameen. And the person has made an oath to do something, and then they, for whatever reason, decided not to do that thing which they vowed to do, which they made an oath to do. They swore that they were going to do something, and then they decided to break that oath, not to do it. Then whoever does so, they have to make a kafara to yameen. Yani the kafara or expiation for making an oath and not fulfilling it. Some of the scholars said that whoever makes an oath, and then they found that which is better than that which they swore to do, and they decide to cancel that oath and not to fulfill it, then because they have to make a kafar or expiation, they said normally it is done after they have abandoned the vow that they made. But it may also be done once they made the vow and then decided to change it. And this is similar to the person who fasted the 3 days of Hajj, when he has joined Umrah and Hajj together, even before he made the Hajj, but once he has made Ihram for Umrah. In any case, this issue is a lengthy discussion about the comparison between Kafarat al-Yameen, and the important thing to know is that many of the scholars agree that it was allowed for the person to do so, to fulfill the Kafarat al-Yameen, and they made a comparison between this and the allowance for the person to fast after entering the state of Ihram for Umrah, even though they haven't yet performed the Hajj, which requires the sacrifice or the fasting. And the seventh point, the legislation of making Tawaf al-Qudud, the legislation of making the arrival Tawaf for those who are not متمتعين. يعني meaning those who didn't bring an animal with them. They didn't bring an animal with them. Even so, متمتع or غير متمتع, they have to make طواف القدوم. Everyone has to make طواف القدوم. And especially this is applicable to the mufrid, because the mufrid is the one who is only making hajj alone. And his hajj requires him to go to Mina on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah and Arafat on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah and Muzdalifah on the night of the 10th and go back to Mina on the 10th making throwing of the stones and cutting the hair, making tawaf and sa'i. He is not required, he is not performing Umrah, but yet even the mufrid, the one who is making hajj alone, for arrival in Mecca, the tawaf al-qudum is also expected of him. And it's legislated for everyone. Whether they're making hajj alone, or they're making Umrah and hajj, everyone is expected to make the tawaf of arrival when they first arrive in Mecca. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and it is tahiyyat al-masjid al-haram. And it is tahiyyat al-masjid for the sake of masjid in Mecca, for the one who first arrived in Mecca. Not after you are there, but only on your arrival. Number 8, touching the black stone at the beginning of the tawaf and at every circuit if one is able. And touching the black stone is also legislated in every circuit of the tawaf. Number 9, ar-ramal, yani the short quick steps for jogging type walking is legislated in the first 3 circuits of the tawaf al-qudum, arrival tawaf only. Not in any other tawaf after that. The tawaf of hajj or the tawaf al-wada', farewell tawaf, this is not done. The ramal. And walking in the remaining 4. Number 10, the legislation of making 2 raka' after a tawaf. Yani after the 7 circuits of the Kaaba, it's legislated to make 2 raka' behind Maqam Ibrahim or any place that is convenient in the masjid. Number 11, making a sa'i between as-Safa and al-Marwa after the tawaf al-Qudum, 7 times between Safa and Marwa, and this is one of the arkan of hajj according to the most correct opinion, although some of the scholars, including al-Muwaffaq ibn al-Qudama rahimahullah, who was the great scholar of the Hanbali madhhab, he held that this sa'i is wajib, a wajib of hajj and not a rukn. But here the Shaykh is saying, the more correct opinion is that al-sa'i is a rukn of hajj, along with tawaf and al-ihram and wukuf al-arafah, standing at arafah. Number 12, doing these things in order, that is, the tawaf first and then the sa'i, this is mustahab. And some said it is a shart or a condition. Number 13, that the one who's bringing the animal with them comes out of the state of ihram on the day of sacrifice, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, after throwing the stones at the jamra and sacrificing the animal, and this is at-tahallul al-awwal. And after throwing the stones and sacrificing the animal, the person will shave the hair and change the clothing and take a bath and use perfume and so on. This is tahallul al-awwal. Yani the person is allowed to do everything that was prohibited in ihram except have relations with one's spouse, which is tahallul al-kamil, that is after the tawaf of hajj. Number 14, tawaf al-isaba. And tawaf al-isaba, it is also known as tawaf al-ziyara. And it is the tawaf of hajj, the main tawaf of hajj, that is after, that is on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, after throwing the stone and making the sacrifice, cutting the hair, the person may go to Mecca and make tawaf al-isaba. And he says this is al-rukn al-a'zam al-hajj, is the greatest pillar of hajj, and perhaps, Allahu a'lam, perhaps it is because it is the tawaf of hajj itself, and the whole objective of going to Mecca was for this tawaf. The tawaf of Qudum is green for Mecca, but the tawaf al-ifada, it is the main tawaf of the hajj, and the main purpose of the visit, of the journey, it is to go to visit the house of Allah, the Kaaba. So he said this is the greatest rukn of the hajj. And it is sunnah and preferable that it should be done on Yawm al-Nahr. The tawaf al-ifada, those may be done on the 10th or 11th or 12th or 13th, but here the Shaykh is saying that it is sunnah
And it is preferable that it should be done on the 10th, Yom al-Nahr, after throwing the stones and sacrificing the animal. Number 15, التحلل الكامل, the complete جمع الإحرام, is after طواف الإفاضة, and that means the person is free from everything that they were not allowed to do while they were in the state of إحرام. And number 16, the final point, he said that all of these actions are the actions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they are the legislation for his ummah. Yani all of these things that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did are legislated. The actions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are legislated for his ummah in general, for everyone who entered the state of ihram, like his ihram, the ihram for Quran, then it is obligatory on them to do what he did. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, خُذُوا عَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ, take from me the rights of Hajj. Then the Shaykh mentions the difference of opinion about which type of Hajj the Prophet performed and which type of Hajj is preferable, and it's a long discussion, I'll try to summarize it. He said that the scholars differed that the Prophet made Hajj as a mufrid, one who made Hajj alone, or as a qarin, one who made Hajj and Umrah in one ihram, Quran, or as a mutamatti, one who made Umrah and Hajj in two separate ihrams. The first opinion of those who said that he made Ifrad, and as for those who said that the Prophet made Ifrad, they have a number of evidences, and from amongst them is the saying of Aisha radiallahu anha, reported as Bukhari and Muslim, that he went out with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Hajj al-Wada, and there were those amongst us who made intentions for Umrah. That means Umrah separate from Hajj, that's the metro. And there were those amongst us who made intentions for Hajj and Umrah, yani in one ihram, meaning Quran. And there were those amongst us who made intentions for Hajj, yani Hajj alone, meaning Ifrad. وَأَحَلَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْحَجِّ, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made intentions for Hajj. And she said there were those who made intentions for Hajj alone, that's Ifrad. And those who made intentions for Umrah, meaning Umrah and then after it, Hajj, Tamattu. And there were those who made Umrah, intentions for Umrah and Hajj together with Quran. And she said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his intention, أَحَلَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم بِالْحَجِّ, meaning that he made intentions for Hajj alone, Ifrad. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. Here the Shaykh says that her division, dividing of the different rites of Hajj, the three different types, are very clear. And that the one which the Prophet ﷺ made was for Hajj alone. And then he says here that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, here mentions under this hadith of Aisha a number of other hadith. Some of them are reported in Al-Sahihin, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and other collections of hadith, and all of them seem to indicate that the Hajj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was mufrad, that he made intentions for Hajj alone, and that he didn't make intentions for Umrah. The second opinion are those scholars who said that the Hajj of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he made Hajj mutamattian, and their proof is that they heard, that it was heard, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم means tamattu. And al-mutamatti, this word as used in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, al-mutamatti, technically in the language of the scholars, it means that a person makes Umrah alone in the months of Hajj with the intention of making Ihram later for Hajj alone. So they understood that what he performed was tamattu. And likewise, they also use as a proof that which is reported from Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, that he cut the hair of the Prophet ﷺ with scissors on the 10th. Meaning, if he cut his hair on the 10th, then he got out of the state of Ihram at that time. And they use this as a proof that he didn't get out of the state of Ihram until the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, meaning that he was not making Umrah separately. The third group said that the Prophet ﷺ made Quran, and they use as a proof the Prophet ﷺ, that which is reported in the Sahih, a number of hadith, and these hadith are the hadith that seem to be the clearest indication of which type of Hajj he performed, and a number of hadith under this section have been reported by Ibn Qayyim, more than 20 hadith which are Sahih, and which are Sarih, clear, authentic and clear, indicating that the Hajj of the Prophet was Qiran. Many of them are in both al-Bukhari and Muslim, and some of them are in either one of them, either al-Bukhari or Muslim, and from one of them that which is reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdul ibn Umar, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qarana al-Hajj ila al-Umrah, that he joined Hajj to Umrah, and he made tawaf, one tawaf, and likewise the rest of the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which indicates that he made Qiran, that he joined them together in one ihram. Also, that which is reported in Sahihin, in al-Bukhari and Muslim from Hafsa, and that's the hadith which we took last week. She said, what is it with the people that they have gotten out of the state of ihram while you have not gotten out of the state of ihram from your umrah? Yani you made umrah just like the people, they got out of ihram and you didn't. And he said that I have decorated my sacrificial animal, garlanded it, and I have matted my hair, therefore I am not able to get out of ihram until I complete the main rites of Hajj. This is a clear indication that the Prophet didn't make umrah, and he made Hajj, and he didn't get out of Ihram until he completed his Hajj, which is clearly the Qur'an. And also, the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, that if I had known what I knew now, then I wouldn't have brought my animal with me, and I would have gotten out of Ihram with you. And when he told them to get out of the state of Ihram after completing the Umrah, he said that if I had known then what I know now, then I wouldn't have brought my animal with me, and I would have done what I'm ordering you to do, that is to get out of Ihram after completing the Umrah. But because he brought the animal, he could not get out of Ihram, so he stayed in Ihram as a Qarim. And this is also a clear indication that the Prophet ﷺ made Umrah along with them, and he stayed in Ihram until he completed his Hajj. Then he says that Imam Ahmed says that there is no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ was a Qarim, and Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah is also amongst those who held that the Hajj of the Prophet was Qarim. And then he explains how we can make tawfiq or jam between these various narrations, some of them seeming to suggest that the Prophet made Ifrad, some of them seeming to suggest that he made Tanattu, and some of them suggesting that he made Al-Qiran. All of these narrations are authentic, and he said that the explanation of it is that those who narrated that the Prophet ﷺ made Ifrad, also it has been narrated from them that he made Tamattu, from the same narrators. So this is a clear indication that they intended by Ifrad other than what one may initially think. And what they intended by that is that the Prophet ﷺ afrada a'mal al-hajj, yani that he singled out the actions of Hajj as a separate right from the actions of Umrah, though he remained in Ihram, for both of those rights in one journey. And those who said that he made Tamattu, he said the explanation of this is that one of the means of Tamattu is enjoying the opportunity to perform both rights of Umrah and Hajj in one journey. And therefore, it may be referred to as the Tamattu. And so he said that the clearest evidence is, and the overwhelming evidence is clearly that the Prophet ﷺ made Qiran, and those who said Ifrad, and those who said Tamattu, their use of such terminology can be understood in another way, which is in agreement with the reality that he performed of Qiran. Then he also mentions the difference of opinion amongst the scholars as to which of the three types of Hajj is preferable, and he mentions four opinions. Because of the lack of time, I will just quickly summarize them. One of them is the opinion that the preferable type of Hajj is Ifrad. And this opinion that Ifrad is preferable is the opinion of Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah, and the apparent opinion or madhab of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. And the evidence, they have evidence such as the hadith in which it is reported أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أفرض الحج متفق عليه that he singled out Hajj. So based on the apparent meaning of that hadith, they said that what he did was Ifrad, and therefore the preferable type of Hajj is Ifrad. They also, those who said that Tamattu is the best of the three, and that's the opinion of Imam Ahmed and some others from amongst the Sahaba and Tabi'in, including Abdul ibn Umar, Abdul ibn Abbas, and Abdul ibn Zubayr, Aisha, and from amongst the Tabi'in, Al-Hasan al-Basri, Aqa, Tawus, Mujahid, and others. And it is one of the two things of Imam Shafi'i also. You know what I mean? in some of the books of the Shafi'i Madhab, it is reported that on one occasion, or at one time, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was saying that the principle of the three is ifrad, and in other reports, on another occasion, on another time, he held the opinion that tamattu was the preferable of the three types. Therefore, it is one of the two sayings, Imam Shafi along with Imam Ahmed, and many of the Sahaba and Tabi'in, that the preferable of the three types is tamattu. The third opinion is that the preferable of those three types is Quran, and this is the opinion of Imam Sufyan al-Thawri and Ahl al-Ra'i, that is the Hanafi Madhab. They said that Al-Quran is preferable due to that which is reported in the two Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim from Anas radiallahu anhu, that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أَحَلَّ بِهِمَا جَمِيعًا. He heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making intention for both Hajj and Umrah together, that بَيْتَ عُمْرَ وَحَجًّا, meaning that he was making Quran. Therefore they said that Quran is preferable. So there are those who said that Ifrad is preferable, and those who said that Quran is preferable, and those who said that Tamattu is preferable, and all of them have their proofs. And amongst the proofs for Tamattu is that the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions to do so. And also he said that if I had known then what I know now, I wouldn't have brought my animal, and I would have also made Tamattu. In any case, the fourth opinion perhaps is the better opinion of them all, and that is a combination of the other opinions. And that opinion is that the best of the three types depends on the condition of the person. The one who has an animal, it is preferable for them to make Quran, as did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever has the animal with them, it's preferable to make Quran. And the one who doesn't have an animal, then it's preferable for them to make tamattu, which is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered those who didn't bring an animal with them to perform tamattu. And in another place, Shaykh Hussain ibn Taymiyyah said, though the Shaykh has mentioned it here, he said that even ifrad is preferable for some, and that is for those who easily, without any difficulty, have the ability, the finance and time and health, to make Hajj and Umrah separately in two different journeys, because they will get the reward for making a journey completely for Hajj, and they will get the reward for making a journey completely, a separate journey for Umrah. So the best of them, according to this fourth opinion, is according to the condition of the person, which is, in my opinion, the best opinion, because it allows for anyone to do any one of those three. All of them are legalized in the Sharia, and whichever one someone does, it is good, and it is praiseworthy, and it's rewardable with Allah, and the one that the person chooses, it should be according to their condition. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, we have a few moments. Can somebody check and see if the system has some questions there? No. And this is the opinion of some of the scholars. It may be that it is the better of the three. It is the opinion of most or many of the muhaqqiqun, of the scholars of Sunnah, most of those who are meticulous in examining the evidences, most of them held that the best of the three is tamattu. And the strongest evidence indicates it. But at the same time, there may be circumstances or situations where a person might perform a different type. And it is also praiseworthy. And that is, for example, if a person wants to follow the Sunnah of bringing an animal from their land, which was the action of the Prophet ﷺ, he did so. If somebody wanted to do so, and there are many benefits in doing so, and the person who does that, then for them, the person will type is Quran. And of the benefits of doing so is the display of the sha'ir of Allah, the symbols of Allah, of the sacrificial animal traveling through the land, and the people seeing it, and knowing that this is from the deen of Allah, that this animal is being sent to Mecca for the purpose of glorification of Mecca, the Kaaba, and for feeding the poor people who are visiting Mecca, and the poor people who are living around Mecca. It is also a great benefit in this, as the Prophet ﷺ used to do in the day of Eid, going to the Eid by one route and coming back from another, so that people may see the signs of the deen. And this is also one of the ways of displaying or manifesting some aspects of the deen. Just quickly, so the sister sent a question. Assalamu alaikum, please explain the legislation of cutting of the hair with scissors. does this mean that the hair may be trimmed instead of cut short or shaving completely? And the legislation in Hajj for the person who is getting out of the state of Ihram. Cutting the hair, there are two manners of cutting the hair. One is al-qasr, that means to cut the hair short, like getting a haircut. It may be done with scissors or with a hair clipper or whatever. The important thing is that the person who does so has to cut hair from the whole of the head. Not as most of the people are doing now, clipping a little here and there and calling it finished. It is not correct to do so. Because the original ruling in cutting the hair for getting out of the state of Ihram is al-halq. Halq. And halq means shaving the whole head. And that which replaces, what is the substitute for an original, it should be similar to it. So just as shaving, al-halq includes the whole of the head, likewise al-qatr, or cutting the hair short, also includes the whole of the head. So the person has the option either to make al-qatr, cutting the hair short, or al-halq, shaving the whole head, though al-halq is preferable. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was asked about the person who cuts the hair short, al-muqassirin, he said, يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ المحلقين. May Allah have mercy on those who shave the head. They said, what about the muqassirun? He said, may Allah have mercy on those who shave the head. What about the muqassirun? May Allah have mercy on those who shave the head. And finally, he said, may Allah have mercy on those who cut the hair short. So it is preferable to shave the head, but it's permissible. It's allowed to cut it short, but it should be over the whole of the head. Either one of these are allowed, whichever the person chooses, it is permissible, there is no harm. Any other questions? For the ladies, the cutting of the hair, it should be cutting just a fingertip, the amount of one fingertip from the end of the hair. If their hair is in braids, which was the practice of the women in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, to put their hair in braids, in two braids or so, then they would just clip the end of the braid, the amount of one fingertip. This is what is legislated for the women, and also it is noticeable that some of the women are cutting their hair inside of the place of side at Al-Marwa, when they complete the side between Safa and Marwa, and they are exposing themselves, and this is incorrect. But the women should return to their place, their hotel, or wherever they're staying, or they may go to the area where the bathrooms are at, and their shower area is there. They may go there in the privacy of the women, if they carry a small scissors with them, and tip the end of the hair, one of them doing it for the other. This is preferable, and this is what is allowed for the women. Not that they should take off their khima in front of other people and cut their hair in front of the men. It's not lawful to do so. Any other questions? طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك